This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Each weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, Talking Health, presented by CHI Mercy Health. Now, here's Talking Health with Lisa Platt on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Welcome to Talking Health, and yes, it's Lisa Platt. We are back for our first show of the season, and we hope that everybody had a wonderful holiday and you're ready for 2020. So today, to kick off our show, I'm going to read you something that a dear friend of mine sent me on New Year's Day, and that friend would be Lorraine Fox. So here we go. Hello, welcome to flight number 2020. We are prepared to take off into a brand new year. Please make sure your attitude and blessings are secured and locked in an upright position. All self-destructive devices should be turned off at this time. All negativity, hurt, and discouragement should be put away. Should we lose altitude under pressure during the flight, reach up and pull down a prayer. Prayers will automatically be activated by faith. Once your faith is activated, you can assist other passengers. There will be no baggage on this flight. The captain, God, has cleared us for takeoff. Destination greatness awaits us. Book your flight today. So on that note, I want to welcome a great crew that we have here today to talk about spiritual health. Joining us is Chaplain Teresa Scott from CHI Mercy Health and Ministers Dwayne and Vicki Brown. Thank you all for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey. So we're excited to kick off the foundation for our 2020 year with the three of you. So let's talk a little bit about yourself. Then Teresa, we'll let you go first. Who are you and how did you get to Roseburg?
Well, I'm Teresa Scott. I've been working at Mercy as a chaplain for about 17 years. So after I took early retirement from American Airlines, which is interesting that you would do that, I enrolled in college to study the only thing that ever really interested me, and that was theology, or the study of God. I studied all the major world religions and all denominations of Christianity. I had no idea what I was going to do with a degree in theology. But shortly after graduation, this job opened up at Mercy, and I interviewed and got the job. So I left Texas and moved to Roseburg in the summer of 2003. It's the only job I've ever had that feels like a calling. It's what I was always meant to do. It's been a good fit.
So I've known Teresa forever. Her and I arrived in Roseburg at the same time. Actually, she's a few months ahead of me, but we were brought here really under the same guidance of a friend that led us here. So,
yes.
Teresa, it's nice to have you here today.
Thanks, Lisa.
So which one of the dynamic duo over there, the Dwayne and Vicki Brown show, that we want to talk to first? Oh, they're jumping. I can see this is how this is going to go today. All right, Dwayne, you go first.
With what?
Well, who you are and how'd you get here?
So I grew up in Portland and was very, very active in my church growing up and just kind of stayed in that line of thought and work growing up. Went to seminary, came right back to Portland where I was a pastor in a Presbyterian church for about 4 years. Vicki and I were married before going to seminary. We moved to Medford area where I was a solo pastor for about 10 years. And Vicki finished her credentials to become ordained herself, and we moved a whole 100 miles north to Roseburg, where we started as co-pastors in 2000 at First Presbyterian Church.
Great. So, Vicki, a little bit about yourself. Yes.
So, Dwayne and I did attend seminary together soon after we were married. I received a master's in Christian education, and then we were called to a church in Portland where he served as an associate pastor and I was a Christian educator, and I was also a Christian educator in Medford before we moved here. I have loved working in the church. It is where I feel at home.
Terrific. So, Teresa, as a chaplain at Mercy, tell us a little bit about that role and what it all entails, some of your day-to-day activities.
It's a busy day. Every day is a very busy day. It always starts out with my colleague Tim Skelly and I get a census of every patient in the hospital. We also get a list of the palliative care patients. These are patients that have been giving a diagnosis that's going to affect them the rest of their lives or maybe bring their lives to an end shorter than they would like. We also get a list of the patients that are nearing end of life. So we kind of set the day together, and then we split off and hit the floors.
And as ministers now, Duane and Vicki, you do some work at the hospital as well. Is that correct? With some of your
yes,
congregation?
If there's a congregation member that I hear is at the hospital and would like a visit, I'm over there as quickly as possible.
Okay. So tell us about some of your day-to-day activities, Duane, with what you're doing.
So in about the year 2012, I actually moved over to the VA as a chaplain. So I am full-time there and have been since that time. And my experience is very similar to Teresa's, where we're doing the same exact sort of things, getting the daily census, seeing where we're at with which patients, kind of doing a little bit of chaplain triage with the highest needs for the day. I work with another chaplain I have with me in Roseburg, and we split it up and go to the various wards in and around visiting patients. There are team meetings where we're talking with particular teams of different wards of the hospital to get updates on patients. That helps to fill out the day.
So you mentioned the VA, and how many then chaplains do you have at the VA?
There's three chaplains. Two of us are here in Roseburg, and the other one is up in the clinic that's in Eugene.
Okay, and then Teresa over at Mercy?
At Mercy, there's Tim Skelly and me, and then there's Father Cletus that works casual part-time now. We have two wonderful chaplains over at Mercy Hospice, Sabin Coutreau and Derek Anderson. Both of those guys are fantastic.
So outside of serving the patients, tell us about the spiritual renewal or freshness you have with the staff, your teams. And Vicki and Duane, either one of you want to share?
My primary job description really focuses on the veteran patients, but we very, very much are mindful of the staff. And we kind of become pastors for the whole campus. People will come to us, make appointments with us in our offices to talk about aspects of life, challenges, deaths in the family. And we never know when it might happen. They could just catch us as we're walking across campus. Chaplain, do you have a minute? And of course, similar experience, Teresa?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to add some things, Teresa?
I would, actually.
Oh, great.
I want to say that I get to work with some of the most extraordinary people on the planet. Every day, I'm blessed to observe the staff of Mercy give their talent, their compassion, their strength, and their genuine empathy in their day in, day out activities. And they can't help but be affected by this burden. So all of Mercy chaplains provide counsel and comfort to the remarkable staff we're fortunate enough to work with. Being entrusted with their sorrows and their heartbreak is an honor and a privilege.
Thanks, Teresa. So, Vicki, in your congregation, you're serving people all the time.
Yes.
So talk about some of those things.
Well, I never know exactly what's going to happen from day to day or hour to hour. There are phone calls or people dropping into my office. I almost always leave my office door open. I do some writing. I do some study. I have meetings. I attend meetings around town, different committees and boards that I might serve on. And I enjoy the variety.
Good. So I hate to make assumptions here, but I'm going to make a huge assumption that both of you work in bereavement classes while you're at your facilities. Talk to us about what those bereavement classes look like. And we'll start with you, Duane, first.
So our bereavement starts before the death happens. We have people in long-term hospice. They might be in memory care loss, and there's anticipatory grief that it's going to happen. They know it's going to happen. Can you kind of start there? And I'll form actually groups with spouses or significant others of those that know it's going to happen. After a death does happen, we provide bereavement support for up to a year, ongoing phone calls, connections, get people together if they would like to. We have quarterly remembrance services where we'll honor those veterans at a gathering, and we'll have maybe 150 names read, not just those who passed away in our own facility, but anyway in the whole Roseburg, Eugene, down the South Coast area. So a bereavement is a big part of what we're doing as chaplains.
Teresa?
Absolutely. It is a big part of what we're doing. I can tell you that Mercy Hospice offers a 12-week class twice a year that teaches people about grief, about how to understand their grief, and how to come to terms with it. It's been wildly successful. It's something that I started about 13 years ago. I did that class for about 10 years, and then I had to turn it over to somebody else. But it's being run now by one of the hospice chaplains, and it's just fantastic. There's also every Monday morning at 10 a.m., there's a grief support group that meets at the Community Cancer Center conference room at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then there's a grief support group that happens the second and fourth Wednesday of every month at 5:30 in Linus Oaks Chapel.
So, Teresa, if people wanted more information about these bereavement services, they go out to Mercy's webpage?
Yes, they can go under Mercy's webpage or contact Mercy Hospice.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. Duane, how would people get in touch with you or whomever about your services at the VA?
They would call me.
Well, okay then. How do we get a hold of you?
541-440-1000 and ask for the chaplain.
Okay, terrific. So, Teresa, I know that we used to have services every day. Are we still having those spiritual services at Mercy every day?
Not every day. Now we're doing it Tuesday through Thursday at 12:10. Father's there.
Okay, and it's open to everybody. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be a Catholic to attend.
Absolutely not. It's an interdenominational chapel. It's actually a beautiful chapel. If anybody wants to come by and just sit quietly for a little bit.
Well, I'm very biased. Yes, it is a very beautiful chapel. So, Duane, do you have similar services over at the VA?
We have what we call a generic Christian service Sunday morning at 8:45 in the chapel, which is the second floor of Building 16. We have about 20 people that come. Half are people from the community. Maybe they used to work there or volunteer there. The other half are current patients who are able to come to the service. So every Sunday, I never know exactly who's going to be there. So it's a lot of fun.
So come on down and see Duane. So, you know, guys, I think this will be a great place for us to take a short break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Talking Health on Local Talk at 4, brought to you by CHI Mercy Health on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Kathleen Nichols got the floor right now. Anyways, we're back for break, and this is Lisa Platt, and we are back with Talking Health presented by CHI Mercy Health. I hope you will stay tuned for next week as we will be hosting Brian Lake from the Boys and Girls Club. But today, if you've just joined us, we are talking about spiritual health with Ministers Dwayne and Vicki Brown and Chaplain Teresa Scott from CHI Mercy Health, and y'all came back.
Yes.
Do you notice that? Y'all came back.
All y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Vicki, I want to go back to the bereavement question because I want to ask, do you have bereavement support group at your church?
We don't have a group.
Okay.
We have some trained people called Stephen ministers within our congregation who might have a one-on-one relationship with someone who's going through a challenging time. We also send out different reading materials over the course of a year after someone experiences a death, a few months and then a few months later down the road, that have been very well received. And then I'm always available for visits as well.
Terrific. So, Teresa, tell us about a moment or an experience that stands out in your mind where you really felt like, I am serving God and I feel extremely rewarded for the service here.
Okay. Honestly, Lisa, every day there's a moment like that. But there are a couple that really stand out. About 10 years ago, there was a young woman that was diagnosed with cancer while she was in high school. And she began coming to the hospital more and more, and I'll call her Grace. So Grace was losing her battle with cancer and ended up coming to the hospital, and we all realized it was, in fact, going to be to die. She was going to die in the hospital. And everybody that met Grace found her to be vibrant and delightful. And she seemed to take this burden that was handed to her with enormous dignity. And everybody loved her. So the final day when she began to die, it was almost too much for her family to bear, which is completely understandable. They just couldn't be there and watch their child go. So I was given the honor to be in that room. And so I crawled in the bed with her and held her and rocked her and prayed. And I began to notice a shuffling outside the door. And one by one, everybody that had dealt with Grace over the years came to that door and either bowed their heads or they came in and touched Grace's head or shoulder. It was an extraordinary experience. It was heartbreaking and beautiful. But we sent that young woman home to God absolutely wrapped in love. And it's something that happens at Mercy every day. That's what allows me to keep doing this job, is to be on holy ground every day.
Thank you, Teresa, for sharing that. Dwayne, do you have an experience that stands out?
Like Teresa, there's several, and every day some little thing happens. Our job as chaplains is to bring a non-anxious presence into very difficult circumstances in people's lives, and it's just amazing the way we just happen to show up at just the right moment. What comes to mind is a few months ago, we had a gentleman on our medical floor. Quickly, we learned he needed to be on hospice. We couldn't even move him to the official hospice unit, though. We just brought the hospice people to him on the medical floor. And I happened to walk in, and I was with the wife, and he passed. And I saw that before she did. And I just waited with her until the realization was there and stayed with her through whatever she needed me to be for her, a listening ear, a crying shoulder, a prayer. You're just there and responding to the needs that you sense that you have. And I'm just grateful that I just, you know, one of those God incidences, I happened to be there at the right place at the right time.
Vicki, you want to share an experience that stands out for you?
Well, my mind was going to weddings. And I just saw the preview of a video of a wedding that I was privileged to be a part of in September. And the joy that's surrounding that time, but also the extra nerves that the couple often have or the family, and to be able to be a calming, peaceful presence in the midst of that is a joy and a privilege and always an honor.
Thank you. Thank you both for sharing. So, Dwayne, I want to go back to the VA just a little bit because you probably have told this, but I'd like for you to reiterate it. How long you've been at the VA, and then how many other chaplains are working with you there?
I actually started at the VA in about 2008. I was very, very part-time, the occasional Saturday on call for the chaplain who was there full-time and just wanted a weekend break. But that's kind of how I got my foot in the door. I had no desire to become a full-time chaplain at that time. But slowly, I spent more and more time there. One year, I was a quarter time there, three-quarters time at the church. And then finally, 2012, 2013, I was full-time as a chaplain at the VA, as the staff chaplain. There was another chaplain that worked as my boss. He's since retired, so I'm the chief chaplain now. I brought another chaplain on in the staff chaplain role. We have a chaplain in Eugene.
Okay. And besides being the chaplain in the facility, do you do any services or outreach services in the community?
We have a program called the Home-Based Primary Care Program, in which all manner of healthcare professionals go to veterans' homes and provide care. And if they would like a chaplain, I will go visit them as well. If we've also had a veteran that has perhaps been in one of our long-term care units for a while, needs to go into the community or chooses to go back home, I can follow up there as well.
And Vicki, besides serving in your congregation, do you do any kind of community outreach with some of your homebound members?
I do visits in people's
okay.
homes.
Yes.
Oh, yes, most definitely. Or meet people at the coffee shop or go for a walk or whatever's convenient and most comfortable for people that want to have a conversation.
So you struck on something earlier, Teresa, and I know I'm going off the script here a little bit, but you talked about retiring from the airline industry.
Yes, yes.
To go into your ministry, what drew you to do that?
Well, God has always fascinated me. And I grew up in a household where we were seekers. We went to every denomination. And I'm grateful for that. In my 20s, I went 180 degrees away from church and got a little wild. Found my way back to God and just was ravenous. I couldn't get enough information. I loved hearing other people's ideas about God. I loved reading different poetry by different religious people. And so when American Airlines offered early retirement, I jumped at it. And I had never been to college. So I was 36 years old and starting college for the first time, and loved every minute of it. I studied the philosophy of religion as well, and even read some of the most famous arguments against the existence of God, and found those fascinating. But I could also, I think it's helping me now see patients that don't necessarily believe in God, because I know those arguments, I know where they're coming from, and I understand that. For me, this is where I was supposed to be all along. It just took me until I was almost 40 years old to find it.
So knowing Teresa the way I have and our mutual friend, I had to read some of these papers, by the way. Just you may not know that, but Pat shared some of those papers with me. So just so that you know that.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So you were very well thought of in our Curcio community.
Oh, well, thank you.
I never told you that.
No, you didn't.
I'm telling you now.
Thank you, though. Okay.
So, Vicki, share with us again what drew you into your ministry. What specific, is there some specific event, or you just knew that you had this calling?
I sensed when I was in college, so in my in the late teens, early 20s, a call to ministry. It just took a while to get to the ordained part of ministry. I was 40 mm-hmm. when I was ordained as a minister of word and sacrament, we call it in our denomination. But even before that, I was working in the church in various capacities. The church, really, I was 5 years old, and my kindergarten class, there was no room at the public school, so my kindergarten class was held in a church building. And when I found out there was class on Sunday morning that kids could go to, I was just like, oh, this is really cool. So I would walk myself down to church. It's just been a place that I've been drawn to. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dwayne?
I was baptized Presbyterian at a few months, and I'm still a Presbyterian. So it's been you've heard cradle Catholic, I'm cradle Presbyterian.
So you've always had this calling to go into ministry.
My mom would tell you I was 16 years old when the calling came, when I got really involved in my youth group at church.
Okay. Great. I'm fascinated because there's a lot of young people today. They are called. It's just finding the right route and what that calling looks like. And I'm speaking from it from a different perspective, an 18-year-old who's extremely creative. But there are these kids out there that are, they have a calling, and they just need that nurturing.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know what, guys? I think we're a little early for a break, but we're going to take one anyway. So, take another short break. You're listening to Talking Health on Local Talk at 4, brought to you by CHI Mercy Health here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hi, we're back with Talking Health, and if you've just joined us, we've been talking with Dwayne and Vicki Brown and Teresa Scott, the importance of spiritual health, and they've kind of been sharing with us a little bit of their life stories, which I'm finding fascinating. So Teresa's all excited because we're on the downhill for this for the show. So anyways, thank you all for coming back again. So do you participate, and I'll throw this out to Vicki first. Do you participate with other congregations or community faith organizations?
We do. We share the responsibility or the organization for the Fish Food Pantry. There's six churches that work together to keep that functioning with board members and volunteers. We also do services with some other churches, especially around Lent. We'll do Ash Wednesday or Maundy Thursday or Good Friday together. Those are the main times that we work as a group.
And Vicki, I know you're very involved in the Blue Zone. So how did you get involved with that?
Well, let's see. A few people in this room may have called me and said, would you serve on the steering committee of Blue Zones? And it's been very interesting and I think a great benefit to our community.
Terrific. So, Duane and Teresa, share with us some of the similarities on the break. We were talking about the census at both hospitals.
Mm-hmm. The census at Mercy generally runs between 70 and 90. And that includes all the ICU, the PCU patients, the surgical. We have a special care unit for memory care, the whole house. That's everything.
And the VA has also around 70 patients spread out between the rehab unit, memory care, the medical floor, acute psychology, and our inpatient PTSD or substance abuse wards.
Okay. So, Teresa, do you work a lot with the palliative care team?
Yes. I am the certified palliative care chaplain for the palliative care team.
So, do you think, what was it, almost 15 years ago, that we would see palliative care at the hospital to the state it is now?
Oh, no. In fact, Mercy is very progressive and seen as quite advanced in the field of palliative care. We've got a robust palliative care team. It's something that the administration of Mercy recognized early on, the benefit of having a palliative care team. Tremendous nurses with great training in pain and symptom management. And then I've had extra training in how to care for people that are facing a chronic illness or maybe the end of life.
Duane, VA and palliative care?
VA has inpatient hospice and palliative care, and we work in conjunction with all of the other home-based palliative care hospice organizations in the community. They might go from one of those to the VA or vice versa. So it's teamwork.
Great. You know, Vicki, I didn't ask you, how many parishioners do you have? Oh, I'm putting her on the spot. I can tell she's got a smile.
Oh, well, I mean, we have an official membership role, and that's around 180.
Okay.
In worship on a given Sunday, it's probably around 90 to 100 people in a worship setting.
And then Christmas and Easter.
Well, Christmas and Easter are wonderful. We get to see lots of people. And, of course, everyone from the community is always welcome. It's an open door. So.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons we wanted to talk today to kind of set the stage for the rest of 2020 is to talk about spiritual health. So I'd like to kind of get your interpretation of what spiritual health means to you. So, Vicki, let's go with you first.
So, spiritual health to me is connection with God, with yourself, and with community of other people. It's knowing that you're not alone in life, and that life has meaning and purpose, that we are created to be here for one another, and that God's love is for us and for the world. So I think there's a connection with all of God's creation as well. So.
Duane?
Well, I've discovered that the role of a chaplain is different than when I was a pastor, because as a pastor, most people who come to the church probably has some sort of Christian leaning and perhaps towards the angle that that church represents. As a chaplain, I do not have an agenda. I'm not bringing my faith to them. I'm there to support them and help them figure out what it is they believe, what their questions are, what spirituality is to them. And I visit a lot of people who would tell me they're spiritual, but not religious. They're not connected in any official way with an organization, but they have belief and connection, like Vicki said. It could be with nature or certain places or people that feed them. So I want to know what brings meaning to them outside of themselves.
Nicely put. Thank you, Duane.
That was very well said.
It was.
Now you're going to look at me.
Okay. Teresa, yes, I am looking at you.
I think Teresa does some of the same thing.
Yeah, a lot of it. I agree completely.
You know what happened.
I know. So the only thing I'd like to add is I think that physical health, emotional health, and spiritual health are all very much intertwined.
Yep.
It's kind of like baking a cake. You're going to add the flour and the sugar and the eggs, and then you mix it all up and put it in the oven, and then pull the cake out and say, I'm only going to eat the egg part. I mean, you just can't do it. It's all interconnected whether you know it or not. So for me, spirituality can be found in a good belly laugh with friends. Mm. It can be found sitting by the side of our beautiful Umpqua River. It can be found in granting forgiveness that you've been withholding. Mm. It's in these little moments of being connected to something greater than us. And it happens all the time. It really doesn't take much work once you have the eyes to see it.
I want to hone in on that word connection, because all three of you used it when you were describing what spirituality means to you. So thank you, because I totally agree with the connection. When we talk about health in your professions, this time I'm talking about physical health. How does talking with a patient or a staff member help them to get through some of the health crisis they may be in because of the setting they're in, whether it's a caregiver or the patient themselves? And I'll go to Teresa first.
For me, it's about helping them find meaning in the midst of it. I mean, I'm walking into rooms all the time where the chances are the family in the room or the patient in the room is having the worst day of their life. And so for my job as a chaplain, I think it's my job to find the love in the room. And sometimes the love in the room is in the sorrow and the sadness. As I'm saying a prayer with the family at the end of a life, I always include a piece about gratitude. In the midst of your sorrow, we've got to be grateful that we knew this person at all. If I can find that little nugget of love or peace or gratitude, that seems to lift the burden quite a bit for people.
Thanks. Dwayne?
Well, as Teresa was talking, I was mindful of, just like at Mercy, at the VA, we have a wide variety of healthcare professions that are bringing their expertise into that room as well. And I've been at meetings where I've heard them talk about the patient's needs in those areas. So as I'm listening to the patient and the family, I'm listening to their confusion, their questions, things that are blocking them, things that are confusing them. And I can bring a word from other professions or bring the dietitian into the room as well. Whatever they need to help diminish that confusion, to bring clarity and a sense of peace into the midst of chaos. Well, that's what they're experiencing.
Vicki, when you're doing a one-on-one, whether it be with somebody who's a caregiver, or it could be the spouse of a loved one that's passed away, what are some of the things that you help that family member or that person be able to cope with that tragedy or that separation?
Well, we've been talking about connection a little bit as part of our spirituality. And one of the things I've noticed in listening and talking with people who are going through really challenging times is that we can lose our sense of connection, or we just don't have the energy or the brain power to deal with it, and we'll feel separated. And it seems to be helpful as a reminder to let people know that other people are caring for them and praying for them, and that the community of faith is surrounding them, so that we don't always have to be saying our own prayers. We know that other people are holding us in
prayer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dwayne, what's some advice that you would share with somebody so they could grow in their spirituality?
Connect with other people who are doing the same thing. People that are like-minded, perhaps. Some will ask me, as a veteran, can you recommend a church? That's a hard question. There's over 50 in our little community. So you've got to figure out kind of what their leanings are, what they like, and to help get them connected with other people doing the same thing. You can't do it on your own in this life. You got to connect with other people and places.
Ladies, is it okay if we take another break and then we come back and ask you the same question?
Sure.
Okay, we'll take our last break, so stay tuned. You've been listening to Talking Health on Talk Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for joining us today. And my three chaplains and pastors have come back to talk with me to wrap up the show. Teresa Scott, Ministers Dwayne and Vicki Brown, and Teresa is already like so excited that it's almost over. So Dwayne answered the question, and I'll repeat the question. What advice do you give people on how they can grow their spirituality? Since I've been picking on Teresa, I'm going to pick on you now, Vicki.
So follow your interests. Whether it's being out on a wonderful hike, you know, in the Umpqua River, or if you like to read, look for people that are inspiring to you, that bring you to life. I think it's follow what brings you life.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I like that.
You still have to answer.
Oh. Okay. Some of the best advice I ever got along these lines was from a Benedictine nun. I used to go hang out with the Benedictine nuns when I lived in Texas. I know I was strange. As I was leaving, the last time I spent the summer there, one of them stopped me and said, just remember to be where your feet are. Be where your feet are. And so over the years, I've come to kind of chew on that a little bit. And I think what she meant was that the only time and place that we can really feel the presence of God is in this moment, being where your feet are. I also think it's really important, especially us as Americans, to find a place in every day of silence, turning off the computer, the phone, the TV, and just being quiet for a few minutes. For me personally, and I don't do it as often as I should, I go sit by the river and listen to the music of that water. There's something deeply spiritual in nature. It's anything that brings you to a place of peace and awe. That could be an inspired reading. It could be really anything. I'll say it again. It's not as hard as most people make it out to be. Spirituality can be found on any level, many different ways.
And Vicki, you touched on something earlier, maybe it was Dwayne, that some people say they're spiritual, but they're not religious. Dwayne, can you just elaborate on that? Because I think that's important for people to hear.
Well, I encounter many veterans who grew up in some church or another, and that experience is now in their past, and they're kind of done with that. Mm-hmm. But they're still left with this gap. It's called spirituality, and then we need to fill it some way. So they'll be searching with me to try to find some way to fill that God-shaped gap. And it can be nature, other people. It could be study of anything that interests them, just something that gets them out of themselves and among other people.
Terrific. Vicki, now that we're wrapping up the show, What is one thing that you would like to leave our audience with? Here's your chance.
That's wow, a lot the of pressure's on. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just drawing a blank. But there is that life is a gift, and that we are given opportunities in our lives, and to take a hold of them and follow those paths.
Well, I want to say this. Y'all have been a gift to me today, so thank you. What I'm taking away from the three of you is connection and gratitude. And you're right, life is a gift. So thank all three of you for being here today. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the show live, I really suggest that you recommend this podcast to some friend or family member. Our guests were Vicki and Dwayne Brown and Teresa Scott. I hope next week you will join us as we will be talking with Brian Lake from the Boys and Girls Club. And if you guys got some things you want us to talk about, my friend Kathleen Nickel over here, she is waiting for your email at mercycommunityrelations@chiwest.com. And she loves Facebook. She's on it all the time. So go ahead and message her at CHI Mercy Health. Talking Health is brought to you by CHI Mercy Health, and we are pleased to sponsor Talking Health here on KQN Local Talk at 4. On behalf of Mercy Medical Center, please remember to be kind to one another, eat healthy, exercise when you can, and have a happy, healthy week.
The preceding program was paid for by CHI Mercy Health Mercy Medical Center. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.